God, well, good morning and welcome to all of you. Happy Easter. Christ has risen indeed. Alleluia and amen. That's it. Go search for the Easter egg hunts. So in July, I'm going to go down to Mexico for a little while. I'm going to go down there for a couple of days. My friend's getting married. Now, the last time I was in Mexico was a long time ago. It was actually when I was about 3 years old, I think. My parents were going to Mexico City with me, and we were getting ready to go. And I think it was really the first time I went someplace far away that I was old enough to think about going someplace, you know. I mean, when I was younger, I went certain places, but I think I was too young to real notice the difference. But, you know, I was finally old enough that I could think to myself, gee, we're going to Mexico. Wow, that's going to be amazing. And so, you know, we didn't have the internet then, so I couldn't exactly check out Mexico on the internet, but I think I looked at an encyclopedia or something and looked at pictures of Mexico, and I thought about all the wonderful things. I heard there were pyramids in Mexico and all sorts of great stuff. And my mother tells this story. I obviously was too young to quite remember it, but my mother tells this story that we, you know, flew into Mexico City and got off the plane and got out of the airport, and I said, "Where's Mexico?" Because, well, you know, in my mind, Mexico was this big, grand thing that was almost too big to imagine. And really, I just saw an airport that looked a lot like the airport that we left in Miami. And it's a funny story, but it talks about how sometimes we have ideas about how things are, how things should be. And we understand that those ideas aren't quite right. I remember when I first came to Beaver Church. I like to research things a lot for those that don't know me, especially if I'm nervous about something. The way I cope is that I research it to death. So, you know, I could tell you all sorts of statistics about the greater Dayton area, about Beaver Creek, about the history of the church, before I even got here, because I just was spending my days reading up on it before I got to this area. And of course, you know, being the, not quite young, younger than I am now, industrious type that I was, I had all sorts of ideas about things that could be done here at Beaver Church, ways we could make Beaver Church better, things that could happen, ways we could reach out to people. You know, and then I got here, and I realized, despite all the research I had done, I really didn't know very much about Beaver Church at all. And that it really wasn't my church, per se, my church to do things with. It was your church. It was your church, and I needed to learn about that and learn about what you wanted. But, you know, after that, and I thought I had it figured out then, too. After that, I realized it's not your church either. I might be surprised to hear that. It's actually Christ's church. That's a whole different thing. And I started to think about not only what I want, and not what you guys want, but what does Christ want for us, most importantly? Christ does that. Christ sneaks up. Christ is like a ninja sometimes. You know, you live in your life and you think you got everything figured out, and then boom, out of nowhere, Christ jumps up, surprising you in your life. Sometimes it's a scary thing. Sometimes it's a joyful thing. We see that almost in our passage in John. It's actually my favorite of the resurrection passages, and it's my favorite because of this wonderful interaction between Mary and Jesus. We have this normal finding of the empty tomb, a indication to us as the readers that Christ has risen. We even have the angels that are telling everybody, in this case telling Mary, that Christ is not here. And you know, Mary still hasn't quite figured it out. I mean, Mary says to the angels, you know, where have they taken Jesus? Because in her mind, the fact that the tomb's empty, I mean, that doesn't mean anything special. That just means somebody stole Jesus' body. And then even when she runs into Jesus himself, brought back from life, but from death to life, she says to him, well, what have they done with Jesus? She is so certain of her reality, so certain of what has happened. She witnessed Jesus die in front of her. And what a hard thing that was for all of the disciples and everyone who followed Jesus, everyone who put all of their life into this man, and she witnessed him murdered in front of her very eyes. And she was so certain that that was the reality that the world would always have. That the fact that Jesus was standing in front of her was something that she just couldn't recognize. How could it possibly be? She was looking for a dead man. How could she possibly be looking for somebody alive? That's a powerful little scene. And like that ninja, he pops up and he says, it's me. And she realizes, it's Jesus. One of the things I talked about in the first sermon I gave today is fear and joy from our Matthew text that we had earlier. Talks about fear and joy. And of course, we understand the joy of Easter. I mean, there's all the Easter eggs and the pancake breakfast and all the lilies and the fact that it's a joyous thing that Christ is alive. But it's a fearful thing as well, because it messes with that preconceived notion that we might have, that we understand how the world works. The fact that there were angels there, the fact that Jesus was alive, the fact that Mary and the disciples saw Jesus was such an amazing thing, such a thing beyond reality. I mean, just think about it. All of us here have lost somebody in our lives. All of us here have put somebody into a graveyard here, somewhere in the area. What if they all came marching in through that door? We'd all be as pale as ghosts, not knowing what to make of it. We would be joyful to see them, but we would have our realities torn asunder, not knowing what to make of it. And that is the amazing thing about Easter. It's the amazing thing about the resurrection, because, you know, if you just look at the ministry beforehand, then we have somebody who is a great prophet, and we've had a number of great prophets. We even have somebody that's a great prophet that can do miraculous things. And we've had stories of great prophets that can do miraculous things. Believe it or not, in Jesus' time, prophets were not such an unusual thing. There were plenty of folks claiming to be prophets. There were even plenty of folks claiming to be able to heal people. In fact, in Jesus' time, there were probably just as many followers of John the Baptist as there were followers of Jesus. And so even though we know from the stories that Jesus was an amazing man, even though we know that he did so many miracles, he still, when he died, was thought of as a prophet like any other. Perhaps the Messiah, and perhaps not. That doubt began to set in because they were still under the thumb of Rome. They weren't a free people. The things that they had hoped, the ideas and the preconceived notions that they had thought about Jesus hadn't come true. And this is why I have so much faith in the resurrection story. Because if it hadn't have happened, then that would have been it. And the Christian faith probably would have fizzled out, like many other prophets that came and went. Many other messiahs at the time, or people that folks thought were messiahs, came and went. But this was something different. Jesus appeared. He appeared. He was alive. It's crazy and amazing. So unexpected. And not only did he appear to Mary, he appeared to so many others. And this is what inspired them. This is what started the church. We know from historical texts that from this point onward, the church just spreads like wildfire. And it's because all of these people were woken up. They were woken up to a reality that they never thought was possible. They were woken up to something miraculous. And it spurred them to go forward and share this story with every single person that they came in contact to, because it was amazing and terrifying at the same time. And we hear from our passage in Acts, we hear Peter talk about speaking to anyone that would listen. Because, you know, it's funny, like Mexico or like this church, we have preconceived notions of who Jesus is. You know, Jesus maybe is that person that my neighbor needs because she's going through a real bad time right now, and that's who needs Jesus. But I'm good. I'm good. I don't need Jesus today. Or maybe Jesus is that person that's in our church. You know, we've got a special Jesus entrance. And that other church that maybe has a slightly different theology than us, well, I don't think Jesus visits there. Well, at least Jesus doesn't visit there quite as often as he visits here, if you know what I mean. Or maybe we think we're not good enough for Jesus. We think we've done something in our lives. It's so unforgivable that Jesus doesn't want anything to do with us. We often paint a picture of Jesus that is so limited. And, you know, we pray to God a lot. We pray to God a lot about a lot of things. We pray often about people that are like us. But as Peter reminds us, each and every person on this planet is someone that Jesus cares about. And so as much as we pray for the people that we love, as Jesus actually reminded us, perhaps we should pray for the people that we don't like so much. Because guess what? Jesus actually likes them. Now, maybe that's not the Jesus that we've created, the Jesus that we're looking for, the Jesus that we expect. But like the resurrection, Jesus is so much more than that. Jesus is beyond any box that we can put Jesus in. And that's what's amazing. Because even if we don't think we need Jesus, Jesus is there for us. There for us, even when we don't know where we're going, Jesus is there helping us. Even when we think that we're not worthy, Jesus is helping us. Even when we have these thoughts about people we don't like, Jesus is there to forgive us and encourage us to love others as Jesus loved so many. No matter what situation we're in, no matter what dark place, Jesus is there. It's impossible to believe. It's an amazing thing. It's totally beyond anything we see on our day-to-day basis, and that's the point. Who are we looking for? Who is Jesus? Jesus is beyond anything we can imagine, beyond anything we can describe. And although that might seem intimidating, and although you might say, well, Pastor Brian, how do we really talk about Jesus then? How can we think about him in terms we can understand? That's the amazing thing. Not even death could hold back Jesus. That's why I have the faith that I do. It's why I went to seminary. It's why I came out to Beaver Creek, Ohio. It's why I get up early on Easter Sunday, even for the 8 a.m. service. It's why I love being here for all of you. Because Christ means so much to me. And you mean so much to me because of Christ. Be inspired this Easter. Know that no matter what is going on in your life, Christ can help you. And Christ is there. And Christ is risen. And we all share in that life eternally. Amen.